And we want to, we're working through Malachi 3 today, page 546 there at the Bibles at your seats. And 6 weeks of finances. Oh, Pastor, come on, right? So we are finishing up Back in the Black, a biblical foundation for personal finance. And we've been talking about how this relates to balance. And for one last time to review the laws of balance, they are reference point, constant correction, and clear objective. And you, whether you're going to balance on a balance beam or if you're going to deal with your finances or some other issue of your life, you have to have these three things. And we've kind of shown that all the way through this series. When we began talking about constant corrections, we began with debt. Then we went to generosity, and then discontentment. Today, I would like to finish this series out by suggesting a very simple way that you can organize, a very simple way that you can prioritize, a very simple way that you might possibly be able to completely reorder your financial world. You see, there's only basically five things you can do with money. If you really think about how simple this is, five things, right? You can spend it. That's the fun part, right? Spend it. You can repay debt because you spent too much. That's another thing. You can pay taxes with it. Oh, boo, right? You can save it. And the last one is you can give it. Spend it, repay it. Pay taxes, save it, and give it. That's generally the order that we go through, isn't it? That's generally how we process through life. And there are two things that that govern what percentage goes into these five categories, just two. When you really simplify everything, your priorities and your self-control. That determines how much goes to each one of these, your priorities and your self-control. And when you think about that, this amounts to me now, right? I'm going to spend too much and have to repay more because I was me now. And then me later, right? Sometimes our savings is on autopilot, and we've talked about that, and that's a good thing. So me now, me later, so I can retire well or, you know, whatever you want to sip on the beach somewhere, whatever. And then America third, that's what that means. And then we usually give to God and others last. That's usually the priority that most people fall into. And if you're different than that, praise the Lord you're here. We'll talk through this. This me first approach, when this is how we live life, when this is how we arrange things, this approach tends to shut God out. But it's worse than just shutting God out. It can be offensive to God when you really think about the ramifications of prioritizing your finances in a me-first orientation. It's offensive because we end up offering to God and other people what is left over. But that doesn't stop us from asking God to provide for us, does it? That doesn't stop us from saying, hey, God, we need a blessing, quick, help. It doesn't stop us from asking God to provide a job when we've been laid off. It doesn't ask us from asking God, hey, I need this house to sell because we financed way too much and we got in over our head. We're about to lose everything. God, help us. Tuition, whatever that is in your life, we run to God for help. But we end up putting him last when he provides the very help that we asked for. How offensive can that be? We want God involved, right? I mean, we all want that. I'd be the first one to raise my hand. We all want God as a helper, of course. But we don't want to honor God. We don't want to honor him as God, especially with our finances. We like to maintain control of this particular area of life. We want to do what we want to do with our money. And you see a lot of problems with that statement, I hope, by now in this series. Let me let you in on a little secret. your financial priorities right here, your financial priorities and how you can lean into self-control, but particularly those priorities represent an open door as it relates to God. And your financial priorities, how you arrange thing in your arrange this list in your life, actually can represent a shut door in your life. And a lot of people don't even know it. That's the sad thing. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, priorities reflected a condition of the heart. And that is still the case today. Nobody disputes that. And they impact God's willingness to become active in our lives. My life, your life, the people in the Bible's lives. In Israel, around 400 BC, the prophet Malachi writes a scathing letter to the leaders of Israel. This letter rips them apart, and then God is silent for 400 years after Malachi speaks. Malachi accuses them of bringing their leftover animals, their diseased animals, to sacrifice to God. These are animals they themselves would never eat. The animals that consumed the veterinarian's time. They were the weak, crippled, lame animals. They were the, sorry guys, pus-oozing animals, the gross animals, the not the good ones. The veterinarian had to come up and give them, I guess they didn't do shots back then, but you know what I'm talking about. We had a dog like this once, cute, ugliest dog on the planet, honestly. We really liked Trudy. She was an English bulldog, but we had to clean the folds every day, and every other week she was getting an antibiotic, and she was just gross, really, right? But she was so adorable. Only an owner could say that, right? These were the animals they would never give to a governor or a king. Invite some dignitary over to your house. Oh, put that one behind the shed. We don't want him to even see it. But hey, we're going to the temple. Get that animal from behind the shed and let's go offer that to God. I mean, nobody else wants it, right? How twisted and sick is that kind of thinking? But this is what they were doing. They were dishonoring God in their sacrifice and their devotion and their worship. Yet all the while, these same people were wondering all the time why God would not intervene for them when they needed God's help. Like, God, we're worshiping you. Why aren't you showing up? We got enemies on every hand. What's up? So Malachi, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this rebuke, and it's a tough one. Look at Malachi 3:7. We've gone over this scripture quite a few times, but I want to go a little deeper today in this series. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? How are we to show devotion to you so that, God, you will be devoted to us? That's what we really want. How do we get there? Even this is showing some sarcasm in God speaking to them. You're asking, how do we return so we can get the blessing? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? We don't even know. In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. If you have your Bibles out, would you just circle that word? Listen, they didn't even know they were under a curse. They didn't even know it. They didn't know it, and I suspect that some of you might be under the same exact curse and not even know it. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So just circle that word for a second. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe. How much of it? I mean, 3% will do, right? Or whatever. The whole thing? Are you kidding me? Into the storehouses that there may be food in my house. How sad would it be to go to the house of the Lord for help and, sorry, we don't have anything to give you. How sad would that be? Tithe means 10%. And not just any 10. The tithe in the Bible is the very first tenth of our income. You can give any tenth, but don't call it a tithe. The second, third, fourth, last tenth is not a tithe. Only the first tenth is the tithe, and it is holy, and it belongs completely to the Lord. It is not yours to spend. The tithe is that peace, and it belongs to the Lord. And this was a very serious priority in some of the Old Testament, right? Why? Why was this? What was the purpose of the tithe? God was so kind to us. He doesn't always tell us why. And listen, I've told you, and I've come to realize this more in my life now, but God doesn't owe us anything, including an explanation. But sometimes, out of his grace, he gives us the why. And I love that. I love that understanding. What is the purpose of the tithe? Deuteronomy 14 tells us, 14:23, the purpose of tithing, God is declaring by his Holy Spirit, is to teach you to always put God first in your life. That is the reason for the tithe. Because Jesus says in the New Testament, where your money is, there your heart will be also, in the exact same place. Think about this for a second. Is the very first thing you'd give your money to God? Some of you it is. And that's you have lives that reflect that, honestly. First is the only place God wants to be in your life, and not just in your money. This is just the tangible piece in every area of your life. Not just your money, but every area. First place, second place will never do for the Lord. If he can't be first in your money, then according to Jesus, he will never, ever, ever be first place in your heart. Because whatever is first in your money is first in your heart. That is the litmus test for what am I worshiping? What is important to me? What am I serving? Look at the checkbook and it will tell you clearly. If you can make this transition and put God first here, then God has a wonderful promise just for you. Listen carefully. This is the only place we are commanded to test God. This Malachi 3 passage. He said, "Test me in this area of tithes and offerings, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it all." Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? This is an extension of God's original promise to Moses 900 years earlier. And God doesn't change. For those of you who think this is Old Testament and God somehow changed the rules and let us off the hook in the New Testament, you've got to be kidding me. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes. God says, put me at the top of your list with your stuff, and I'll show up, just as we sang when the bills are due. There is a lot of discussion about whether tithing is New Testament. That's not my point today. Priority is my point today. Priority has always been God's point in this message. But just so that you know, tithing is recognized in the New Testament. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 43. Look at this. "Woe to you, Pharisees." And this is the seven woes. Like he's rebuking them. "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint and rue, and other kinds of garden herbs." In other words, in this passage, in this little statement, he's saying, you are so careful. You give God a tithe of everything, including what you grow in your garden, right? You are always careful with this, but look at this. "But you neglect justice and the love of God." So you can't tithe in a legalistic way. That's never been what we've talked about. We tithe as an act of worship and giving because of all that God has done for us. But they were checking the box. Their heart wasn't even right in their giving. We need to legalistically give that, and that's not the right heart. That's why Paul says we got to give with a cheerful heart, right? That's the key. So they were checking the box, but then you did all this, but you neglect justice and the love of God. How sad is that? Right? We can't neglect those things. You should have practiced the latter, justice and the love of God, without leaving the former undone. This is important to Jesus that we tithe. This is very important. Jesus repeats this idea in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the heart issue is to always keep God first. And this verse that we want to talk about in Matthew chapter 6, we began our series with. Look at this, Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot, it is impossible to serve both God and money. You don't put him first in this area of your life, there's going to be many other things that come down the pike that you're not going to be able to meet that test. In the very same message, a few verses later, Jesus said, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things." Pagans are those people who don't even recognize God. But your heavenly Father knows that you already need them. You don't have to even worry about the things coming up. Just put God first and he'll take care of all of these other things. And then he goes into how the grass of the field and the birds of the air are taken care of and all of that. And doesn't God love you much more than I don't know how many sparrows, 1,000 sparrows or something. I don't know. He gives a number. In the meantime, while you're waiting, like in the gap, while we have these needs and we're waiting on the Lord to figure all that out or to bless us, whatever, be assured of his concern and his involvement in your life. Don't ever forget that. But make sure you seek second or third, right? Or, you know, at a fraction of what God says. Come on, friends. When do we seek first? When do we seek God? First. It has to be first. God will never take second. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Every single thing that we need. Isn't that incredible? Have you ever wondered why you might be living in such scarcity? Like, why aren't my relationships working out? Why is there just never enough? Why? What is going on in my life? Why does this car keep breaking down? Why can't I get a new client? Why can't I make ends meet? Listen, perhaps it's because God is not really first in your life. I know you know the talk. I know you post the things out there on social media so everybody thinks you're really spiritual. I get that. But maybe, just maybe, God really isn't first in your life. And the proof, the thing that indicts you is your checkbook. If you can't put him first in your money, God will never be your master. Do not be deceived by that. Prioritizing God's interest financially is an invitation to his activity in your life because he waits to be welcomed. He always does. The direction, the priority of your money reflects the direction and the priority of your heart. This means we have to flip the list. This means we have this list before, just like this. This means we have to put God and others at the top. This means that we have to put that ahead of even our own needs to follow God in this area, because that's exactly what Jesus did. And we're supposed to be made into the image of his son Jesus. So we just flip the list. We put give from the top, from the bottom to the top. Give, save, pay taxes. They remain in the same place. Sorry, but that's a whole nother sermon. Give, save, pay taxes, repay debt, and then I spend. We can simplify this list a lot. You want to see how? Just a three. We started teaching this to our children when they were way small, hardly walking. We were teaching them this. Give, save, live. Do you remember that? Give, save, live. Give, save, live. We had three envelopes. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. We must have said that to them 1,000 times growing up. Before you spend, you write that tithe check first, just as God commands. Listen, it is holy and it belongs to the Lord. God said that many times throughout Scripture. By giving to God first, you're saying, God, I want to make sure your kingdom, I want to make sure your priorities, I want to make sure your concerns get funded first. I will figure out how to live on the rest. God, there will be no more leftovers for you ever again. You will get the first and the best of all that I take in, all that I earn. Before you pay debt, give before you pay debt. You've robbed God long enough, so just stop it right away. Just end it. And then you write the next check to yourself. You write the first one to God to honor him with everything you have, and the next check you write to God. I know you don't have enough. I get that. But you'll never have enough unless you do this. That's the problem. No matter how small that saved check might be, make this a habit. Whatever amount you give to the Lord, that's the rule of thumb in our house, you put the same amount in savings. And we do it every time. We do it as soon as the money comes in. Then and only then do we live on the rest. And we adjust to whatever amount that happens to be. We'll figure that out. God, give me wisdom. And he does. He makes the car last longer. He fixes things. It's amazing what happens. And you think you need to live on a percentage, not just dollars. This system, this give, save, needs to ebb and flow with your income. When you make more, when you get a big bonus, you give more and you save more. When you make less, you have a situation, a job, they have to cut your hours or whatever. You give less and you save less. That needs to ebb and flow with your income. And the truth is, all of us live on some percentage of our income right now. And the sad thing is, you probably don't, most of us don't even know what that percentage is. So here's a clue. Why don't we just choose it? Rather than allowing government and our own consumption to choose it for us, why don't we do it on purpose? Give, save, live. Give, save, live. Flipping the priorities to this is an invitation for God to be active in your finances. It's a cool thing. Try it for 6 months. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Test the Lord in this and see if he will not throw open the floodgates of heaven just as he said. Test it for 6 months and see if he will not. The very next verse in Malachi is how he restrains the devourer. The devourer is right there ready to pounce on everything you have, including your relationships. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you, literally. And God just says, no, he's mine. He's faithful. Listen, there's a little wall around him. Don't mess with him. And he restrains the devourer. We can't restrain the devourer. I know some of you might have had some of that teaching, name it and claim it and tell the devil to do this and that. Listen, that doesn't work out well too much, right? But Jesus, he spoke, right? The word was spoken from heaven and all life came into being. One little grunt, one little syllable from the throne of God can do anything. And he restrains the devourer on our behalf. Try it for 6 months and see if that doesn't happen in your life, just as God said. Try it for 6 months and see if he will not quite literally pour out so much blessing over your life that you won't be able to take it all in, just as he said. Do you trust him or not? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never, ever, ever changes. These promises are yes and amen in Christ, and they're just waiting for you to act on them. That's the only thing God's waiting for, to release this into your life. Beloved, I'm not telling this to get something from you. That is not what this is about. A lot of people, when a pastor talks about money, goes, here we go again. They roll their eyes and they go, of course, right? What do you expect? A pastor has to do this. I want something for you. I want something for you. I don't want any of you living under a curse from the Lord. And they're real. They're real. In a few weeks, I'm leaving. no more stake in that game. I'm leaving, and why would I make this one of the last messages I preach to you? I got seven more after today. Seven more times we're going to meet together, and we're going to pull out with a U-Haul. Why would this be one of our last messages? Come on, think about that. Because I want to get you broke? I mean, come on. Doesn't make any sense. It's because I want God's blessing for you, and I know that if you don't put God first in every part of your life, especially in the area of money, with all that Jesus said, you will never, ever receive the fullness of God. Tithing is not something I just preach on. It's something Kim and I practice every day in our life. Every day. We'll give up savings to tithe, everything to tithe. In a few weeks, tithing is so important. Listen, I check in with my kids often about their giving. It tells me where they're at spiritually. See, I know how to, Kim checks Facebook, and so I say, hey, how's your giving going? I do that. And they expect it. About every few months, hey, how's your devotions going? How's your prayer life? How's your giving? You still giving your tithe to the Lord? You done any offerings lately? It's one of those things we taught them as soon as they understood what money was. Give, save, live, son. Give, save, live. I never wanted money to get a hold of their heart, and I don't want money to have your heart either. I want Jesus to have Jason's whole heart and Craig's whole heart and Stephen's whole heart. Tithing was one of the main things on the list when we sat down for that dad-son talk before they moved out of my house. We sat down and I said, son, here's a few things you got to do and here's a few things you can't do. You can't ever stop tithing. You always got to put God first, and it'll go well with you in your life. And by the way, don't get a motorcycle. Oh, that one went out the window, sorry. Hey, listen, this was so important. I put it up there with sexual purity. Son, you want to blow up your life? Just go have sex with a bunch of people. And you will have all kinds of grief and torment that you, come on, take it from me. You don't have to go down that road. Don't forget to give. That's how important this subject is. That's why it's one of my last messages to you. That's why. Listen, when someone comes to me for prayer, this happens at least once a month. Some of you have come to me for prayer. The pastor, things aren't going well financially. Would you pray for me? Do you know what I ask them right before I pray? Right before I agree to put them on my prayer list, I say, are you tithing the first 10% of your income? If you're not, we really don't have to pray beyond that. I can tell you what's wrong. You just got to fix it. You don't have to pray about this one. Do you know the answer most of the time is, I would if I could. I really want to tithe. I just can't. My wife won't let me. I've heard that a bunch of times. There's not enough. There's just no way we can make ends meet. Take another 10% out. I just can't. I wish so much I could, but God understands. Really? You think God understands? Tell your wife she's second place in your life and see if she understands. Yeah. And men, you will give an account of this in your family, not your wife. You will give an account. You're a single mom, single whatever, you will give an account for it. But if there's a man in your house, you will stand before God and have to explain why your wife wore the pants in this financial area of your life and you would not put God first. You will answer for that, not her. Don't give me that she won't let you thing. I can say I can pray for you, but it won't do any good because you're under a curse, God's curse actually. And the only way to solve that problem with the Lord, and then I explain Malachi 3, because there's a devourer that God is allowing to have your stuff. And doesn't that seem cruel? Why would God do that? It never made a lot of sense to me to hear the folly, foolish reasons people don't give to God. But you say you're poor, you say I don't have enough, but God says you don't have because you don't honor me. You don't trust me with what you do have. God says, you put your precious money above my commands, that little tiny bit of money you have. I walk on streets of gold. One day, if you believe Jesus, you'll walk on streets of gold, yet you put your $5,000 in your bank account above me. You put your salary above me. And here, I'm offering you all the streets of gold in heaven. You're a co-heir with Christ. What are you doing? Because of that, God does not restrain the devourer in your life. He allows the devourer to consume what you work hard to squirrel away with, that little measly amount in the grand scheme of things. He's willing, and here's the why God does this, that God curses. Are you kidding me? Read the scripture. He's willing to strip away all away from you because He loves you way too much to allow you to be controlled, to allow you to be manipulated, to allow your heart to be given over to something as stupid as money that can never love you back. God is not willing to take second place. And whatever you're leaning into, He's just going to let it be stripped away from you so that you eventually have to see how stupid and foolish it is. He's willing to take any idol out of your life. Any idol. God does not protect the measly resources you have because of your unfaithfulness. That's why you suffer so much. And I'm not preaching to those of you who are good in this area. If you want to trust your money over me, God says, have at it. How's that been working out for you so far? How long, says the Lord Almighty, are you going to continue placing your hope and trust in something that can never love you? I can give you everything you need. Money, love, peace, hope, relationships, grandchildren, everything. But you will not turn to me with your whole heart. And how do I know that? Because you will not even trust me with that measly 10% of your income. How foolish. Friends, I want to personally challenge every single one of you in this room who doesn't tithe. I want to challenge every single one of you who eventually will watch online. It's not live today, but we're recording. We'll post it later. And if you have never taken the 6-month tithe challenge, if you've never done that, then take it right now. Flip your communication card over. If you've gotten a little lax in this area, flip that card over and check that box. I know the resources aren't there. I get that. They never are because God has allowed them to be removed from you until you check that box, until you put Him first in this area. So flip that card over. If you're watching online, click the check-in box link, the button, and then fill out the form. And on the very bottom, the last thing is, Pastor, I want to take the 6-month tithe challenge. Take that. Click that box. And we'll send you a free book this week, some additional resources to help you along your journey. We'll circle around with you and help you, pray for you. Our whole prayer team will be lifting you up this over the next 6 months. And I will encourage you along the way. I will encourage you along the way. And listen, because God says He will bless your socks off, test me in this and see. That's His command. Be ready to take some notes on this. Be ready to pay attention to what is going to happen in your life. You will be the first one, if God doesn't show up, you will be the first one to ever take this seriously and say, Pastor, God's a liar. I've never seen it. I've never seen God not come through just as He says. I suggest you get a journal to record all of the good things coming your way. When I circle around with you, and I'm going to leave my name on that and check in with whoever's here and be checking in on this, I'm going to ask you to share that story with the church. I'm going to come up in maybe January, February. I'm going to circle around with you. Listen, I'm going to keep this on my list. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. And watch God come through like you've never seen him before in ways you cannot even begin to imagine. Or you can continue what you've always been doing. But you got to ask yourself at some point, how's that been working out? Can you imagine what your life would be like with that kind of blessing that God promises? You are the only one standing in the way of that. It's just a priority flip. Three laws of balance, just to recap real quickly. Keep your eye on where it's going. Spy on your money. You can't get to where you want to go unless you know where you are. Determined to honor God with everything you have and every part of who you are. And make constant corrections in debt. Make constant corrections in giving. Make constant corrections in saving. Make constant corrections in awareness. Prioritize around give, save, live. Give, save, live. Your life will be richer. Your relationships will be richer. Your heart will get bigger. But most importantly, God will be honored in your life. Imagine what would happen if we all did this. I just did some math, some statistics, the average number of people who attend church and the amount of credit card debt and the average interest rate of credit card debt. I'm a nerd like that. That amuses me. Sorry. If we all got debt free and did exactly what this series says, next year we'd probably all be debt free. And it would amount, if we pulled our credit card interest that we didn't have to spend next year, it would amount to $201,000 extra we could give to Jesus next year. We could triple our outreach next year. What a witness would that be for Jesus? What a witness. God, I'm just going to keep paying my credit card interest. I'm just going to make it an offering. Hallelujah, right? For those of you who desire to be Christ followers, wholehearted Jesus followers, this isn't an add-on. This is an essential component. You can't be a wholehearted follower of Jesus without surrendering your stuff and the way you manage it. It's impossible. It's impossible. And does God accept half-hearted followers? Does he? Probably some preachers you could tune into that would tell you so. But I could send you to Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And so you know what he does with lukewarm followers? He vomits them out of his mouth. That's the imagery in that text. God is never willing to take second place. It's all or nothing. We're going to have baptisms next week. I can't wait. That's one of my favorite services. And the shirts say all in. The question is, are you all in with Jesus or not? Are you wholehearted toward Jesus, or are you just giving him your leftovers when you can? This is what I want for you. I know this is what your Father in heaven wants for you. And I hope this is what you want for you as well. So we're going to sing a song to wrap this series up. Maybe you have an adjustment somewhere else. Write it on your card. We'll be praying for you. Maybe it's the tithe challenge you need to really take seriously online or watching in this thing, you're going to mark the communication card. Whatever it is, I'm going to give you some time to think about that as we sing a really reflective song. So everybody bow your heads. Kim and Matt are going to come sing this song. Kim, where do you need to adjust? I'm going to encourage you. We're going to receive the offering on purpose at the end of this message, at the end of this thing, and ushers, you could prepare. But let's just pray. God, where do you want us to be? What do you want us to surrender? God, I've been holding on to stuff. Maybe that's you. And Lord, I need to put you first. But help me take this. This is a scary step of faith. I get that. But God has never sawed off the limb of somebody who went out on the tree branch and said, God, I trust you because you said to go here. When Peter got out of the water, he didn't drown. He walked on the water. God never takes a step of faith and makes you a fool. So God, speak to us. Holy Spirit, have your way in every single one of our lives. In Jesus' name, Kim. Praise you, Jesus.